Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is Saturday, December 14th, 2019, and welcome to another Saturday Night Saturday Spotlight with the one and only, your favorite author. It is me, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, we talked to author Tierra Cox, and we talked to her about her book, Three is a Crowd, which is premiering December 31st. But before we do that, as always, we get into my week and how things went with me. So as always, as I say, I hope your week was well, because mine was well too. This week, with my job, we went on a training. Most of you don't know I work in the healthcare field and I work with dementia patients. Well, we went on a dementia training that they want us to have. The title of the training was I'm Still Here. But we went on a dementia training that they want us to have with the residents that we care for at the facility I work, just to be familiar with, you know, brushing up your skills on working with dementia patients and how to adhere to their needs and the things of that nature and such and such. So I was at this training. It was up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. I am about a good 45 minutes to an hour from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. So I drove because all the employees that drove, the job is reimbursing them for mileage and tolls. And they provided a bus, but most of the people was on the bus wasn't that big, so I drove. So needless to say, at this training, I learned a little bit of stuff, but most of the stuff I already knew working with dementia patients. I've been working in the healthcare field for the last 2.5-3 years, so I really feel like my skills, you know, they were kind of brushed up in this training, but most of the stuff the lady was talking about was already familiar. It was like repetition. I'm like, and I already know all this. So most of my employees, I say, at the training, we were either doodling on the little paper that they gave us, we were like drawing and doing like little kitty stuff. And they had icebreakers, but for the most part, I'm a hands-on person. I've always been a hands-on guy. Like if I'm doing anything far as a training, whether it be I'm getting training for a new job or training for the job I already have or brushing up on my skills, I am always the type of guy that has to be hands-on. I'm not a person that can sit and listen, because what I'll do is I'll be like an old person and fall asleep. So there were moments where I was falling asleep. There are moments that I was doodling on a piece of paper. There are moments that I kept checking my iWatch, my iPhone watch, my Apple watch, like, okay, it's time to go. Because this is really, really boring. And I wanted to get into the traffic, because traffic on any of the interstates here in Illinois are like the Georgia I-65 and other, you know, Texas. The traffic on these interstates are crazy. So where I was coming from and going back to, I wanted to get into that traffic before 5 o'clock hit. So they let us go about, I want to say, 3:30. And needless to say, I got home at 4:45, close to 5, but I wanted to beat that training. But my big boss had informed us when we got to the location that we trained at that this will be going on once a month for the next 3 to 4 months. To see the expression on our faces when he said that would be priceless. Who wants to keep traveling back and forth for this for the next 4 or 5 months once a month? And then it's getting ready to snow. Y'all know that's listening from Chicago or any surrounding areas or just know Chicago, period. When this snow is getting ready to come down, it's no joke. Who want to be on these interstates when it's snowing, it's ice, folks can't drive? So I'm like, I don't know about that one. I may be getting on the bus the next couple of times, but needless to say, that was the highlight of my week. So in contrast to that, I came up with the idea of a vision board. So with my vision board, I stated that there were certain things that I wanted to do with 2020 coming up. You know, as you know, all know, we're approaching 2020. It's going to be a brand new year. Everybody has their whole new year, new me, blase, skippy, whoopty band, whatever you want to say about it. But 2020 is approaching. The new year is approaching. So I decided for myself is that I wanted to create a vision board. And with this vision board, I put down a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. And I haven't gotten the utensils and the poster board to create it yet. I'm going to do that this week when I get paid. But I decided to come up with a vision board. And with this vision board, there are 5 things I said that I'm going to put down. Number 1 is weight loss. Weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. I have got to get back on it, man. I have gained, I want to say, a good 20 to 30 pounds since working at the job that I've been at now. And I remember in 2014, I had set a goal to lose weight. The end of 2013, going into 2014, and I did it. But I did it with help. And I did it with the help by the name of pills called Fentermin. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with Fentermin, but Fentermin is a weight loss pill that they give you that if you do right by it, within, I would say, a good approximate 3 months of after taking it, you'll start to see results. I started taking it in January of 2014, and I saw results by March of 2014. My face had gotten slimmer. My body had gotten slimmer. You know, when you start to lose weight, you get slimmer in your face. So my face had gotten slimmer, and my body starts to get slimmer. And I noticed that from one day looking in the mirror when I woke up one morning. I said, oh, these pills are working because now my face and everything is getting slimmer. But with this Fentermin, there is also side effects. So I lost the weight, needless to say, but I also had to incur some side effects. First side effect that I incurred was that I was constipated some of the time. I couldn't properly use the bathroom at times. The second cause and cause that I had was I had no sexual libido. Like, I know I'm kind of getting a little personal, but I'm going to tell y'all what it was. I got to put it out there, so I got to let y'all know. So just in case anybody is listening, thinking about taking Fentermin, you might want to listen and take some notes. Being as to say with that, I had no sex drive. Like, nothing was happening for me. I was not in the mood. And needless to say, I could not perform, if you know what I mean. And that was kind of tough. And it was times where I was in the mood but could not perform. So if you know where I'm going with that, that was kind of tough, especially for a 30-year-old man that's having symptoms of an 80 or 90-year-old man. And it's like, what's the problem? But it was the Fentermin. Number 3, I had experienced constipation so bad that when I ended up going to the washroom, I ended up gaining a hemorrhoid that took me 4 months to get rid of because everything that came out of me once I finally pushed and wasn't unconstipated, came out, thus tearing tissue, and I ended up catching a hemorrhoid in my anal area. So I will say, if you are thinking about taking Fentermin, words of the wise, you are going to experience side effects. The pros of it was that after taking it in January, May of that year, I had lost a good 40 to 50 pounds. I went from 238 to 170 or 60 pounds. I had lost a lot of weight. doing that. And it, and that's like I said, it helped. I took it on a regular because what it does is it also decreases your appetite. So it makes you not hungry. So there were times where I had to force myself to eat 3 meals a day, or I had to force myself to even eat 2 meals a day because I wasn't hungry. The phenomen was fighting off my hunger appetite. So if I did eat two, it was like light meals, like I was eating for breakfast every day, a bowl of oatmeal and a piece of wheat toast. And I kept drinking water. It kept drinking water. So the water was coming out of me. My skin was clearing up. My skin was real clear. I was losing the weight. I mean, I'm talking about all the pros of it now. I was losing the weight. My skin was clearing up. I saw the weight decrease. You know, I was liking the way I was looking. I was liking the way I was feeling. But because of that, there was the cons of it, the constipation, the low sex drive, and the hemorrhoid that I gained that I had to go to a special doctor to get removed. So, like I said, if you're thinking about taking Phenamin, you might want to think twice about it, because those are the effects that it has in men. I don't know what effects that it has for women, but the effects of it that it has, that's the effects are for men. And then when you get off of it, because I stopped taking it once I came back from my vacation in May, I stopped taking it. Once you stop taking it, you put back on everything you took off, plus more. That is why I am where I am at now today, because when I stopped taking it, I put back on everything I took off, plus more. So with this new weight loss with my vision plan and my vision board, I should say, I'm going to do it the old-fashioned, natural way. I'm just going to cut back on fatty foods, sugars, juice, pop. I'm going to cut back, eat right, and exercise on an average 4 to 5 times a week, four to five times a week basis. So I'm going to be at the gym 4 to 5 times a week. I'm going to cut back on all those things that help have me gain weight. And then I'm also going to cut back on the sugars and stuff. So the sugars, the food, and going to the gym, that's what I'm going to do. The supplements, they help out for a second, but once you get off of them, it's like you gain all that weight back in there. So, I mean, that's where I am now. It's like I've gained all this weight. It's like I'm sluggish. I'm tired all the time. Sometimes it's like I feel like I'm out of breath a little bit, and it's just got to a point where it's become a problem. So now here I am, and I've never looked like a real big fat guy, I should say. I look good on my pictures, but that's because I carry my weight very well. And I carry it very well, but I'm tired of being where I'm at now. I need to go back to where I was in 2014. So that's why my vision board is created for weight loss. Number two, a better job. I love where I work, but when I took this job, it was not my dream job. I thank God for a job every day, but where I work at now, it's taught me a lot. I've learned a lot. I like what I do, and I like the working with the residents, but it's not me. I went back to school, as some of you know, that know me offhand from this radio talk show. I went to school this year, and I earned my certification in medical billing and coding. So I'm looking for something in that area or something retrospect to that area so I can go back into the office, because I'm not in the office. I work field work. So I'm looking to go back into the office. So that is on my vision board for number two, to get a better job. Number three on my vision board is finishing 2 books instead of one before the end of 2020. As most of you all know, I am finishing my 5th book, All Marvin's Children. It should be completed and ready to be put out by June of this year. But I'm also going to start back writing Friday After Dark 2, which is my series, and I'm going to have that finished by my birthday of next year. So I want to complete 2 books next year instead of one. So that is on my vision board. Number three on my vision board is being more sociable. When I say that, is that I want to get out more. I sound a little sociable on this call, on my talk show, on this radio show, and on this call, but believe it or not, I'm actually a very shy guy. So I really don't socialize with a lot of people, but the few friends that I do have. But I want to get out and be more sociable, get out and do things, especially when the summertime, when it get hot. That's my favorite time of the year. I want to get out and be more sociable and be, you know, be more open to meeting new people and just, you know, engaging and, you know, and just being around people, you know, per se. You know, I sometimes feel like I have a wall up and I want to kind of stop that. You know, it's nothing wrong with being sociable and meeting new people and doing different things. So I want to do that. I want to be more sociable. And number five, church and having a closer connection with the Lord. I used to sing in the choir years ago. I used to have a tight-knit relationship with God, but I feel like I don't anymore because I don't go to church as much. I still keep him in my heart, but I don't go to church as much. So that is one of the things that I want to do as well, is get a closer connection with him. If I don't go to church, I do go to Bible study, but it's just still like, it feels like, I should say, still kind of feels like now, opposed to years back when I used to sing in the choir and I had to be at church and had to be at afternoon programs to sing when the choir had to go out and sing and minister, that I had a closer connection at that point. But now it feels like I don't have that closer connection. So that is one of the things that I want to do, is to get a closer connection with God, because I know that when you bless him, he'll bless you. And I'm trying to get that closer connection that I used to have a few years ago. So that is my vision board for 2020. Weight loss, finding a better job, finishing two books, being more sociable, and having a closer connection with God. And like I said, this weekend I plan on designing that vision board. And I may post it, if you're on my Facebook page or any of my social media pages, I may post a picture and just show you my vision board. I feel like everybody should have a vision board. Whatever goals you want to achieve, put it on the vision board. Write it out. Because that will keep you closer to completing and accomplishing those goals with that vision board. So that is a big thing for me to finish this weekend coming up and to have it displayed and take a picture of it so I can apply those goals for 2020. So I want to send a shout out to my second mother. I know she might be listening. Miss Audrey Smiles. Audrey Smiles, I know she is listening in tonight. She tells me that she has her radio or her phone or think her calendar or whatever turned to listen to the Saturday Spotlight every night. When she told me that, I felt so humbled and thankful. And so I just want to say, Mama Audrey, thank you. I love you. Thank you for listening every weekend. Thank you. Thank you so much. Audrey is the mother of my good friend Crystal. I've been knowing Crystal, her daughter, since we were in seventh grade, and it's like been inseparable ever since. So I just want to say thank you, Mama Audrey. Keep listening. I love you. And keep, like I said, just keep listening. Keep encouraging me to keep doing these shows. I appreciate it so much, so much. So we are into the segment part of my sponsors. So as I say, as always, this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza of Gary, Indiana, and they're open till midnight tonight. Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana's address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And their telephone number is 219-951-0695. Again, that number is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stoney, home of the G Herbo chicken sandwich and their famous jerk fries. And Mickey's on Stoney is open till 1 a.m. And their address is 8126 South Stoney Island on the south side, southeast side. Let me get it right. Southeast side of Chicago. And Mickey's on Stoney telephone number is 773-902-2800. Again, that number is 773-902-2800. And Raise the Bar, serving good sweets and hot food. Also specializing in custom treats, birthday cake, cookies, you name it. Try them out for their weekly food specials. Raise is located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And their telephone number is 708-566-4088. Again, that number for Raise the Bar is 708-566-4088. And Layla's Sports Bar and Grill, located at 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. Their number is 708-414-1088. Again, Layla Sports Bar and Grill is located at 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. And their number is 708-414-1088. All right. So we have come to that time of the hour, the time that we look forward to every Saturday Spotlight, and that is our author interview. And tonight, we have author Tierra Cox, and she is going to talk about her book, Three's a Crowd, which is coming out on 12/31, December 31st. And I see Tierra in the queue, so I'm going to bring her on now. So everybody that's listening in, let's welcome in author Tierra Cox. Tierra, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, good, doing great.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
More nervous than anything.
Well, I say don't be. I hope you got something to drink in front of you, you know, something to munch on. Just take your time. It's gonna be easy, breezy smoothies. It's gonna go through really, really good, really, really smooth. So don't be nervous. It's gonna be all in love.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay. All right. So first off, tell us the listeners who is Tierra Cox.
That's a good question because, you know, I couldn't really even answer that myself. I'm nobody special, just everyday 32-year-old trying to make it in the U.S. And at least get by in my life to do something enough to where on my deathbed, when I look back, I'm not like, damn, I just wasted this whole thing. So that's really about it.
Okay. So. What made you want to become an author, Tierra? What was it that was in your, you know, what that you said one day you want to wake up and decide to say, okay, I want to write a book. What made you want to write a book and become an author?
My grandfather. His name was Bertrand Long. My pop-pop is what I called him. He's really my biggest inspiration for wanting to do this. When I was younger, I used to write stories about talking animals all the time because my grandfather and my mother used to read me Beatrix Potter stories all the time. And so that was kind of my basis into it. And then one day I had wrote a story about a young girl who was given as tribute to a wolf goddess in her village. And I read it to my grandfather and he was like, this is really good. This is your gift. You should be a writer. And then ever since then I was like, okay, yep, that's what I'm going to do. So before that, I had set in my head that, oh, I'm going to be a veterinarian, but me and blood don't really work out so well. So I was like, this is my backup plan.
Okay. And I noticed that from looking at Three's a Crowd that, and I believe all your books, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe all your books, and when I looked at the titles, are in the genre of paranoia, am I saying it right? Paranormal or something like I don't understand it right. But
paranormal fantasy, yeah.
Okay, so what made you want to write in that paranormal fantasy genre? What made you decide that genre?
My mother is listening in tonight, and possibly my father. They are not going to want to hear this. But when I was in seventh grade, I was in the school library, and they had The Vampire Lestat by Anne Rice. And I knew I shouldn't have been reading it because at the time my parents were very religious. But I was like, this is too good to pass up. I've never read a vampire book before. So I was under my covers that night, and I devoured that book. And I went on through all the rest of her novels. Interview with the Vampire Armand, Men Knock the Devil, and I just became just obsessed with like that whole world of fantasy, vampires, witches, werewolves, just all of it. I was like, you know, this is something that really fascinates me. I could get into this. And then just growing up, trying to like read those kind of books, you really notice that there are no Black women forefronting any of these books. And if they're in it, they're mentioned briefly or they're antagonists of some sort. And so I kind of just thought, okay, I'm tired of sitting here reading books and getting to the page where they describe the girl and she's I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but she's blonde with blue eyes. And it's like, okay, I can't really insert myself into this book, so let me change the narrative.
Okay. And by doing that, you feel that's been very successful for you?
I mean, I wouldn't say not yet, actually being published or anything, but I do have a blog on Tumblr, and very hesitant to share it, but I do have a lot of followers on there. I think last time I checked, I had a little bit over 5,000, and the girls on there, they're amazing.
Wow.
They can't wait for me to churn out something. There's messages in the inbox. When's the next chapter? When are you going to finish this? So if I could get that following over to my actual book being published, that for me, that'll be success.
Okay. Gotcha. I should. And how many books? Well, let me piggyback to this. What year did you start writing?
Books that to be published or just originally?
Well, both. Well, both. I guess I should have kind of made it a little bit more. But yeah, both. Both.
Okay. So I guess originally when I started writing something was probably about maybe like 2001, maybe 2000.
Okay.
So it was a
good
while ago. But getting into like actually publishing and like putting stuff on Tumblr, I think that was back in 2013, 2014. I might be wrong.
Okay. And how about your first book? Like when did you actually publish your first book?
That was Reminiscing, and that was this year. I believe it was September that came out, Reminiscing.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble now.
Okay, got you. So you've been more on,
like,
the Tumblr blogging side. Okay, I got it now. So you've been more Tumblr, but the Tumblr and the blogging, and then you just retrospect came into actually doing your first book this year. Okay, got you. Okay.
And that
is
courtesy of my friend Courtney.
Okay. Thank you, friend Courtney. Thank you so much for that. So, how can I say? What's different from blogging your stories to actually making your books, making it into an actual book for people to read now? What do you find is more simpler? Doing the blogging or actually putting your first book that you've done into retrospect? Like, what's easier?
Blogging is definitely easier. I don't have to edit anything. I'm the type of person where I'll read something maybe twice, but exactly how it comes out of my head and onto the computer screen, that's what you're going to get. So I just sit there, I type it up, there you go. Go ahead, have at it. With actual publishing, it's like a whole editing process that I did not know existed. In my mind, it was, hey, here's this book I've written. Go ahead, edit it, and then let me see it so I can read it again. And then let's put it out for publishing. And my publisher was like, yeah, no, that's not what happened. She was like, we got to strip this, take all this out, rewrite this. And at first, it was very discouraging because it's like, this is my baby. This is my story. You can't do that. You can't say those kind of things. But in retrospect, looking back at it, it's like, okay, well, I understand what you're talking about because I am one of those people where, you know, if I read a book on my Kindle or something like that and somebody has just a bunch of errors or continuity issues, I will highlight that with a quickness to put it on the thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a level of professionalism that you, in the blog, that you absolutely, that you just don't have to have.
Right. All right. And how many blogs do you do, like a month or a week or so? Like, are you like doing those? Are you like one of those people that just like type do a lot since you have a following base? Or there's just like one you do a month or a week? Or how many do you do?
In the beginning, I was dropping chapters of novels at least once, maybe twice a week. Now I'm probably doing it like once a month. I had started a story for them, but of course, just like school and finals got in the way. I don't think I've updated it for a month, but they're due for another chapter, so I'll be doing something for that soon.
Okay, cool. And is it straight paranoia, or is it like do you dabbling with, or you just straight say in the paranoia genre?
No, I do a lot of, it's a mix between paranormal fantasy and contemporary romance. Those are the two things I bounce back and forth between.
Okay. And which one is the easiest for you to write?
Fantasy. I feel as though, like, I don't know, my whole life I've been very interested in anything that has to do with the occult, the metaphysical. So it's just like I have a wide array of knowledge about that world. So it's like when I'm thinking of a new story, it's easy for me to come up with a plot. What's the conflict? Okay, so what are the characters looking like we're going to put in now? When it comes to contemporary romance, it probably shouldn't be because it is more real life, but it's a little bit harder for me because it's like, okay, well, what is it that we can talk about? How is it that I'm going to solve the issue between these two characters in a realistic point of view? And I can't just say that, like, she used magic to fix the issue. So I think in the contemporary romance spectrum, I tend to concentrate a lot on the issues of racism and colorism and then push it out.
Okay. Because I see in your next book coming out, Three is a Crowd, that there's a couple that's on a book that one's Caucasian and the other one is African-American. Okay.
Oh, no, yeah, no, he's Asian.
Oh, Asian, I'm sorry, okay. Yeah. Asian. I might have been looking at your other one, which I think is your first one you said you actually published.
Oh, no, Reminiscing, no, he's Asian, too.
Okay, well.
Korean, yeah.
Okay, with the red cover?
Yes.
Okay. Mama say go that one. Okay. No, all right. So, your book Three is a Crowd. Without giving it away, tell us a little bit about it.
I'm going to let you know right now, I feel like I'm not good at giving a synopsis. I let my publisher handle that. So, thank you, Alex. But Three the Crowd is basically about a generational witch named Leah. She's lost her mother in a tragic event. And so in growing up with her grandmother, she's always been told that she's had all this power, but she can't use it. There's boundaries on everything that she does. So one day, just sticking her nose where it shouldn't be, she conjures what she thinks is a fairy, but is actually a demon. And in that trial, he becomes her familiar. And basically what, I'm sorry, I'm like horrible at this. Basically what she learns is that everything that she thought was real, everything that she had been told her whole life is a lie. That no one is actually in her corner as much as she thought they were, and those that she had called friend were only there for a certain reason, without giving too much away, because I'll do that on accident.
Okay. And this book is due out December 31st?
Yes. It's much more exciting than I made it to. I promise, like I said, I'm horrible at summarizing stuff.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's fine. You did actually really good without giving the whole book away. Because, you know, some people go into the whole, and it's like, I have to stop them sometimes. Like, you know, don't give your whole book away, especially when it's not coming out for another couple of days, a week or so. You just want to give a little bit so when people want to go and read, they're going to say, well, she already told me what the book was about. No, you're going to hear a little bit of it so you can want to read and read all more. So you actually did good.
There's family drama in it. There's drama between in relation boyfriend girlfriend relationships. There's some steamy scenes in it as well. and it all kind of wraps itself up. Any kind of supernatural creature you can think of, they make an appearance in the book.
Awesome. Okay. So have you done any book events since you put your first book out, Sierra?
I did an author spotlight with AAMBC. That was, I like that. That was pretty cool. It was on Twitter. But other than that, no.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So what former authors inspired you to write and why? I know you say Anne Rice is somebody that you started off reading in. Mm-hmm. Are there any other authors that have inspired you to write, and why so?
One of my favorite books is Beloved by Toni Morrison.
Oh,
I really love that book. The whole, just like, kind of generational curse theme that was going on. I really like that. Oh, man. Beatrix Potter. Edgar Allan Poe. I would say that's about it. Other than that, I mean, it's just different. It's just different poets. Just whatever poems of theirs that I like the best. I usually try to fit whatever motif or theme that they were pushing at inside of it. So that would be Robert Frost, Langston Hughes, Emily Dickinson.
Okay. Awesome. So are your books ebook or they're paperback too?
Both.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Okay. And I know you've probably gotten this question from people that tell you that they want to write a book. Hey, Sierra, I want to write a book. So I know you get this question, and I have to ask it to every author that I interview on this show. But I ask you for three tips. So what three tips, Sierra, could you or would you give somebody that wants to write a book, says they want to write a book or they get ready to write a book, what three tips do you give them?
Number one, have a beta reader. Don't read it yourself because you're automatically going to say, yep, this is good, let's do it. Let somebody else read it first and see what they think about it. And definitely don't take whatever advice they give you personally. If they think there's some changes that need to be made or something, actually look at it from, their point of view, because those changes probably do need to happen. The second thing, never send your first copy to a publisher, because that is going to be nothing but heartache. If you can get, go on Fiverr. If you can get somebody else to line edit your work before you send it in, it's going to save you many headaches when the publisher and the editor go over and review it. And the third thing, I'm not guilty of this, but just from what I've seen, don't think that you're going to blow up from something so fast, that everyone's going to catch on and see you're brilliant for what it is and then just start buying your stuff so you can get checks. It's probably going to take some time.
Yep. I definitely would agree with you on that. I have 4 books and ready to do my 5th, and I really still feel like I'm kind of not at a whole basis of being a household name. I'm still kind of at the back of the end, so I definitely agree with you on that. It's all about getting yourself out there, networking, and because, like you said, a lot of people think that they do think that, Sierra, that I write one book, I'm going to blow up. No. No. It's not going to happen overnight. No. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Just saying, I don't even want to be a household name. It's the same, presence following that I have on Tumblr was actually applied to real life. I'd be happy with that.
Okay. And definitely just that, because I know I said the same thing too. And when I say a household name, it's just more or less getting out where in the area I am now. But I do agree with you on that, too, because I did say that at once, too, that I like the little following base I got. So if I don't never win an award, which I have already, but I did give this at the speech when I won an award. If I never won an award, just as long as somebody read my books, that's what I'm okay with. I'm all right with that. So I definitely agree with you on that, too.
Yeah. And a Netflix special. That would be nice.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so the new year is coming up, 2020. So, Sierra, what's in store for you in 2020?
February of 2020, I will be moving to China. So, I
got
a job.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I got a job teaching English. So, I will be over there for the next 15 months doing that. And I don't know, just going off of like the plan that I have for myself, I'll probably be there for the next 5 to 7 years before moving on to somewhere else, to another country, or depending on the political climate of the U.S. coming home, we'll see.
Okay, awesome. And I, like I said, I want to wish you well wishes. Definitely on that. Congratulations. That is a very you must be ecstatic about that. Definitely.
Very.
Yeah, definitely new opportunity. Have you ever visited there before? Is this your first time?
This will be my first time.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited, a little nervous, but a little change never hurt nobody.
Right. Definitely. Change is a sign of growth.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I see a couple of callers in the queue here.
Okay.
I'm going to take those. So the first person I see, their area code is 402, and their last four is 1367. Hello, 402. Last 1367 is your last four. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Tierra and Jeff. Go ahead and speak.
Hi, Tierra. I told you I was going to call. Thank you for the shout-out, boo. But let me go ahead and help you answer that question about who you are. Tierra is one of the most beautiful people I have ever met. I've actually never met her in person. We met through Tumblr, but from there, she has become one of my dearest friends. She is the possessor of a beautiful spirit. She is a phenomenal friend, a phenomenal mother, and one of the best people I've ever had pleasure meeting. So I'm happy for you. Congratulations, Boots. I want to say hey.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, who is this?
This is Courtney.
Oh, Courtney. Hey, Courtney. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, so this is the best friend that she spoke about. Okay.
Yeah, she over here talking about she ain't nothing special. No, ma'am. We're not claiming that. She's something phenomenal, and I'm looking forward to seeing her growth and her progress. So while she over here trying to be humble, let me help her out.
Exactly, because Courtney, I was going to go back and correct this too. Like, come on, Tierra, now you are awesome. Come on, you got to speak over yourself.
Okay.
Come on now. Yes. Well, Courtney,
thanks
for calling in.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good evening. Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
You too.
Okay.
All right, Tierra, we got 813 is the area code, and the last four is 1957. 813 and 1957, the last four. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Tierra. Go ahead and speak.
Hello. Hi. Well, please let me know if y'all can hear me. My name is Jeff.
Yes, I can hear you.
Righty. So,
hello.
Also, Jeff, it's very nice to meet you. My name is Jasmine. I also met Tia through Tumblr, just reading her stories, and I can tell you she is a phenomenal writer. I've been following her on Tumblr for quite a while, maybe like a year or so before we started actually talking, and that's how we became friends. And I am an original Three the Crowd fan. That's actually how we became friends. I followed Three's well before it became a book. It was amazing when she was posting it on Tumblr. It's actually one of my favorites, so I'm really happy that it grew and progressed
for her to be able to turn it into a book. And I'm so proud of her. We've been friends for, like, what, 2 years now, T?
Right?
I think so. I don't even know. But
right,
she's one of my dearest friends. Yeah. She's one of my dearest friends. Like, she's, like, the best person to have ever entered my life. And I've been so excited for her book. I want to embarrass you a little bit. We talk every day. We actually talked before she came on the show. I have her first book. I went ahead and purchased it both digitally and the physical copy. And when I tell you, I've been harassing her about this Threes book. Like, because I don't know, it was, I forgot what chapter it got to on Tumblr before she pulled it and said that it was going to be made into a book. And at first, I was honestly kind of upset because I was like, I need to know what's happening. Three is like my crash story. And so for us to finally have a release date for it, I'm just over the moon excited about it. I know she is too.
Yes.
But it's so great that she's getting this this spotlight. I think she definitely deserves it. Out of most of the people that I've read on Tumblr, her stories have just always stuck out. She's always gone above and beyond with her work. And I'm so excited for her and to be able to be on this journey with her and just support her and be in her corner. So.
Aww. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. She just texted me. Okay. All right. Enough being sappy. I definitely am enjoying this show, though. Jeff, I'm going to have to look into your book. So.
Okay, definitely.
I know you said you have four out and you're working on your fifth, so congrats with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do. And I thank you for having my Kia on your show.
Oh, no problem. No problem. And I thank you for calling in, yeah. Jasmine.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
So much.
Bye.
All right. We got one more caller, Tierra. And that area code is 737, and their last four is 7575. Okay, 737-7575, you're on the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Tierra. Go ahead and speak.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hello.
This is Mom.
Oh, hello. I love when the mom call in.
Yes, this is Mom. I got my little spiel of Mom, don't call in and embarrass me. But I said, okay, but you know, I can't do that because I'm Mom.
Right.
But I just want to personally say that I am so super proud of Tierra. I mean, she's awesome. She's the oldest of six. Tierra has always been an awesome writer. She has also been an awesome reader. When in school, she loved English. She loved reading. She loved writing. She sucked in P.E., but she made it up in reading and writing. And, you know, I'm just really, really proud of her. I just can't say enough of how proud that I am of her. Tierra didn't share it with you, but when Tierra was still in, I think she was in maybe it was 13, 14, she had written her first poem and it had gotten published. And it was just a poem on pheromones, talking about butterflies, pheromones. And it got published, we knew from there that, you know, this is something that Tierra does. Yes, she can still be that veterinarian on the side because she does have some of that skill. Don't believe everything she says. But Tierra is awesome in what she do. Like I said, I can't say enough of her. She's my daughter, but outside of my being my daughter, I can now say that, you know, when I get that certain age, she's my friend because I got to raise her first. And so at 32,
right.
I've raised her. So she is my daughter and my friend. And she's an awesome mom. You know, her gifts have flowed over to her oldest daughter, Kalia. And, you know, she has her son, Zane. And I know that he's going to do great things. And, And I just wanted to say that I love her and thank you so much for having her on your show. You know, like she's like her friend said, she's trying to be humble, but you know, we know the real Tierra, and I'm just grateful for it and just proud of what everything that she's doing as a black woman, as a female. You know, I'm just really proud of her. So, again, I just wanted to say thank you and love you much, Tierra.
Love you too, Mom.
All right, Mom. Thanks for calling in, Mom.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jeff. Y'all have a good
no
one.
Problem.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tierra. So you had a couple of calls to call in and your family and your friends. So what I need from you, and can you do this for me ASAP in the next couple of days?
Okay.
Can you autograph a copy of your other book and mail it to me, and I can put it in my favorite things basket for my last show at the end of this month to give to someone?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to have a, I call it, you know, how Oprah had her favorite things and how Ellen was doing things. Well, I'm the male version of them, so I'm going to give away two baskets. Yeah, I'm going to give away two baskets of author's books because people are donating, and I've been getting a lot of them in my mail so far. But I'm going to be donating two baskets to two lucky readers on my call, on my show, I said, at the end of the month on that call. So definitely, I would appreciate that if you can do that for me. Okay. Okay.
Yes,
awesome.
I will definitely
get
it out to you.
Okay. Cool. So any final words, Tierra? Where can the listener audience reach you on social media?
On Twitter, on Facebook. I have a Goodreads page. I also have my own page on Amazon. You can find me on TierraWritesRomance.com. That just has everything, all the links and whatnot to buy the book, to do everything else. And Three the Crowd comes out on December 31st, so New Year's Eve. So please make sure to get it. You guys are going to love it. I guarantee it.
Yes, yes. If you guys love Anne Rice, if you guys love Tanara Van Du, definitely check out Tierra Cox with Three the Crowd. Yeah. She has that coming out on December 31st. So like she said, New Year's Eve. If you in the house, after you take your little sip or whatever, get online and download Tierra's book or get online and purchase Tierra's book. It's on Amazon, right?
Yes, on Amazon.
Okay.
Click the yellow follow button, so let you know.
Okay, awesome. Or if you got a Cash App. You got Cash App or PayPal?
Yes, I have Cash App.
If you got Cash App or PayPal, send Tierra a friend request if you're not her friend. And instead, buy her book that way. I like to promote that, Tierra, because I like for us to get our money's worth for our books. So you have a Cash App or a PayPal, definitely hit Tierra up and get her book that way through, and she'll give you a signed copy?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so hit her up that way. Yeah, she gives you a sand card, but definitely, we authors like to see, our gifts for a buck for our gifts. So I definitely tell people all the time to, if you got a Cash App or a PayPal, reach out to the author via Facebook or one of their other social media handles and purchase the book that way. Because a lot of times Amazon, we have, you know, a fee that they charge and they don't give us the full amount of our book. So I tell people all the time, hit that author up. Right. And through their PayPal, their Cash App, and you get the book signed that way too. So
exactly. TierraWritesRomance.com. At the bottom of the page, you see all my links and whatnot to my social media. Go ahead and contact me on there. I'm always willing to talk. I love to talk about books. So
okay, awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Tierra, for coming on tonight. I appreciate you coming on. I love the interview tonight. I hope you're not as nervous as I hope you're not as nervous as you was at first no more.
Nah, I'm good now.
Okay. Okay. Definitely. So thank you so much again for coming on. Good luck going over to China, and definitely you guys gotta check Tierra out. Is it TierraWrites.com?
TierraWritesRomance.com.
TierraWritesRomance.com.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. She's also author Tierra Cox on Facebook, TierraCox. Tierra Cox on Facebook.
Exactly.
All righty. Well, Tierra, you have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
So there you have it. Tonight we talked to author Tierra Cox about her book, Three's a Crowd. If you're into that Anne Rice, Tarna Van Doo, Harry Potter, check out Tierra Cox. Her Facebook social media handle is TierraCox, author Tierra Cox. And she also does blogging. She also does TierraCoxWritesRomance.com. So check her out. So thank you tonight, Tierra Cox, for coming on the Saturday Spotlight tonight. Next week, somebody say next week is my pre-Christmas show. We only have two more shows to the end of season one of the Saturday Spotlight. I cannot believe it. I started this thing the end of September, and here we are getting ready to end the year. Two more shows. Next week on my pre-Christmas show, I'll discuss my top Christmas movies, top Christmas gifts for adults, Christmas dinner, and author E. Ray Turonik stops by. That's all next week on the Saturday Spotlight. And then, December 28th, you do not want to miss this show. December 28th, mark your calendars. It is my favorite thing show. Ellen had her favorite thing. Oprah got her favorite thing. Ellen got her favorite things now, I should say, that she does. Oprah had her favorite things. Well, they inspired me to do a favorite things show. So if you're a reader and you're listening, you do not want to miss out on this opportunity to call into that show. I will have three dynamic authors from the Midwest, female, famous, that will be here on the show with me. The show will run 1 hour and 30 minutes. And I will be giving away 2 book baskets to 2 lucky callers, so you do not want to miss that show on the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, your one and only. That's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L. So, again, thanks, author Tierra Cox, for coming on tonight, and I will see you guys next week on the Saturday Spotlight. And remember, as I always say, only what you do for Christ will last. So have a good rest of the weekend and the upcoming week, and I will see you guys next Saturday night on the Saturday Spotlight.
Preview.